Today on Real Radio.
Jesus Christ in his majesty communicates to us the love of God. He speaks to us about the kingdom. And this is what is tender. Verse 43, but while everyone marveled at the things which Jesus did, look, he said to his disciples, while they're marveling, he says to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears. I'm going to be betrayed. My death is near. If you can't get it straight about what just happened here, if you can't be dependent upon the Spirit for everything, you're never going to make it through the rest of this book of Luke.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 9 tells us of the event that took place on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, verse 37, the first part of the section we're now looking at, tells us what happens from the very next day on. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Majesty of Jesus Christ.
This calls me and challenges me to search my own motives about everything that I think, say, and do. It's amazing. Am I empowered by the Holy Spirit? Very quickly, Micah chapter 3, verse 8, Micah the prophet, he said, I'm full of power by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Jesus Christ in Luke 4:14 says that he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee and ministered. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. I love this verse. Jot it down. You'll love it too. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but be understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which there's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what's a great thing about that verse? Here it is. And I don't know why the old King James translators didn't translate it as it says. In the Greek language, this is what it says. It's great. You know, the Bible is written in Hebrew and in Greek and a little bit of Aramaic. Not Arabic, Aramaic. Watch this. In the original Greek, it says, Ephesians 5:17, therefore, do not be stupid. Don't you love that? I love that. In fact, it's emphatic. Stop being stupid. Therefore, stop being stupid. It implies that we are stupid. Therefore, stop it. What? Being stupid. About what? But understand what the will of the Lord is. I want to know. Good, here's the answer. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, in which there's dissipation. Here's what he's saying. What happens when you drink too much wine? You get drunk, you get goofy. People are funny. When they start to get drunk, they get very jovial. Hey, oh, buddy, how are you, pal? Listen, for all of you non-drinkers who know drinkers, that's the time to ask them for a loan. The first stage of drunkenness. Oh, buddy, man, I just love you. You know I love you. Do you love me? I love you, man. You're my brother, you know? Come on. Will you give me a loan? How much do you need? Number two, they get real emotional. You know, back in 49 when I burned your car, you didn't know? I was me. I'm sorry. And then third, they get obnoxious. Violent sometimes. And that's usually before they're out. Here's the thing. The Bible says, why do you waste your time with that? Now, I can preach a series of sermons on how the Bible says a Christian shouldn't be drunk. You know what's better than that? If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll never want any other kind of, quote, spirit in you again. Because you know, there's no room for that kind of junk. Because here's what happens. When God gets a hold of you, it is an awesome life. And you don't want to come down from that life by picking up a Jim Beam or a Jack Daniels. It's a joke. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit and power in your life, then you know what? You're going to go settle for what the world says is best. But here's what happens. You drink the alcohol and you get affected by it. And then right in the middle of your, yo, man, we had a great time. Can you, wait a minute. Hang on, I got to go to the bathroom. People drink and they got to go to the bathroom. That's exactly what the Bible says. Why be filled with drink in which this dissipation has to be eliminated? But rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word in Greek is over, be filled over and over and over and over again. It's awesome. The disciples stopped doing that. They looked at ministry maybe as something as common. I can take care of this. Wow. Second point this morning, our majestic Jesus rules in authority. He rules in authority, number one, in the spiritual realm. Of course, in the spiritual realm. He has absolute authority. It says in verse 42, and as he, that is the, this is kind of strange, listen. As he was still coming, he who? It's a lowercase h. It's not the Father. But we don't know, you can't clearly discern, is it the demon or the son? The answer is both. It's the demon and it's the demonized son. Why is that important? Watch what happens. As he, the demonized son, was still coming, the demon, that is, he took control, threw the boy down and convulsed him. Isn't this a horrible life? Demonic possession's real. If you don't believe me, too bad. It's real. You ought to have my job. You say, well, maybe you're talking to somebody with mental illness. Sometimes it is just mental illness. Then sometimes when you see a body come off the ground and hover in midair, that ain't no mental illness. At least I don't think I'm that sick. When you see someone's eyes roll in the back of their head and turn absolutely stone black, and voices coming out of their mouth, that's like 10, 15 voices. Body contorted and body being bruised right in front of you and nobody's even touching them. Stuff when they say things and only you knew that when you were 9 years old on that Saturday afternoon. Or you were 18 years old and you were up in Oxnard. How does that thing know that? How does that person who's a stranger that you've been called to make a house visitation know that? You say, oh, what are you talking about? Hey, you ever watch that program? I don't, but I know people do. You know this guy, John Edwards? I'm not talking about the guy running for president. I don't think I am. It's not the same guy, is it? That guy's possessed, man. The guy, that John Edwards guy? The channeler guy, the guy that people call up and they are there people in the show and they say, you know what, this or that? And he goes, yeah, you know what? Yeah, uh-huh. You know what? Your uncle said this to you when you're 13 and that's why you're this way. Oh my gosh, how'd you know? The Spirit told me. And all these lemmings go, the Spirit, did you hear that? The Spirit told him. The Spirit. What Spirit? Demonic stuff is real. That's why God condemns in Deuteronomy 13 all the way out to Deuteronomy chapter 18. The consulting of mediums, spirits, witches, soothsayers, tarot cards, palm reading, Ouija boards, all that stuff. Why? They're real. Hey, the Bible specifically mentions the horoscope, that it's demon-powered. Oh, you know, horoscope? I've seen Christian websites that have their little help links. And they have a horoscope tab. And that's demonism. You say, well, that's just the game. There's demonic powers behind them. It's amazing. The physical realm, the spiritual realm. In the physical realm, Jesus has absolute authority as well. Look at this, verse 42. Then Jesus rebuked, that is the word gag. He placed a gag order on the demon. I love that. It means he silenced it. Be quiet. I love that. He gagged the unclean spirit and healed the child. The word is renewed him, made him brand new in a second. Be quiet. Kids made new. Third word, gave him back to his dad. The word is to present, to make a presentation. You ever prepared for a corporate presentation? All the work you do, all the preparation, you've got your boards up, you got your pointer, you got everything ready, you're going to make the big presentation. That's the word that Jesus used when he presented the child to the Father. Everybody, all that great multitude of people, that's the understanding. Wow, he presented him like a general presents the victory to the king. Isn't that great? I love that. Jesus controls the physical realm. And then thirdly, under this point, Jesus is authority over all. And they were all amazed at the what? The majesty of God, verse 43. That verse right there connects us to the day before on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Greek New Testament in Luke 9:43 says, and they were all astounded at the evidence of God's mighty power and his majesty and the magnificence of God. Isn't that beautiful? Third and final point, verses 43 to 45, it's this. Our majestic Jesus rules through love. He rules through love. You guys, you may think this corny. I have a movie that is one of my all-time favorites of all time. And I guess if you watch it once, it's corny. But I've watched it so many times, I cannot count. It is so cool. But there's a scene in there where Sean Connery is King Arthur over Camelot. Yeah, first knight, very good. And there's a big debate about, because Maleagant's there who represents Satan, and he's challenging Sean Connery's authority, King Arthur. And Maleagant, who again represents Satan, says, men don't want to be ruled by love. They need to be ruled by fear and torment and pain. And well, Richard Gere is listening to the whole thing. He's Lancelot. And he's got two kingdoms to pick from. One guy's all dressed in black with a snarl on his face. He's got boogers hanging out of his nose, representing Satan. And then there's Sean Connery. And he's Sean Connery standing there. And Sean. Looks so fatherly and figurish-like. And Lancelot's, what do I do? What do I do? And King Arthur says, Lancelot, go spend this night in prayer. And if you do, in the morning you'll be born again. And he's out there crying his guts out. Oh God, what do I do? And in a moment this dove flies away and Richard Gere stands up and he's a totally new guy. He's got the kingdom in his heart. Having the kingdom in his heart, he winds up giving up Julia Armand, his hot, lusty love that he's after, and he finds out that living for the kingdom and its love and for its king is greater than any woman that this world could produce. And he falls in love with the kingdom and the message of the kingdom, and he lives for the kingdom. Listen, Jesus Christ in his majesty communicates to us the love of God. He speaks to us about the kingdom, and this is what is tender. Verse 43, but while everyone marveled at the things which Jesus did, look, he said to his disciples, while they're marveling, he says to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears. Psst, guys, church, don't miss this. Guys, I'm going to be betrayed. My death is near. You need to have these words sink deep in your ears. If you can't get it straight about what just happened here, if you can't be dependent upon the Spirit for everything, you're never going to make it through the rest of this book of Luke. You'll never make it to the end. Because if you have walked with the footmen and they've wearied you, what are you going to do when the chariots arrive and when the Jordan begins to overflow? Translated, if you can't handle this situation in dependence upon God for everything, when I'm crucified, you'll freak. You're not getting it. Because your attempt to try to do it on your own is causing doubt and fear in your life. And you can't hear clearly. My friend, if you're doubtful, fearful, you're not hearing clearly. I'm not hearing clearly. It's through his love that he communicates. What a tender moment. Literally, while everyone's eyes were wide and jaw agape at the things Jesus did. Jesus turns while they're all doing that, while they're all preoccupied with awe. Jesus says, hey, you guys, get this straight. Let this sink deep into your ears. What does he say? Sacrifice. It's through love that he sacrifices. For the Son of Man is about to be betrayed, given up, surrendered into the hands of men. His love was sacrificial. True love is giving, active, enduring. His love. It's sacrificial. He's telling them, I'm going to go die. You got to get this. It's not a bad thing. I'm going to die. Church, why was Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem? The cross was there. So then why didn't he head to Syria, Damascus? Why didn't he go to Beirut? Why didn't he go to... He embraced the cross. Why would he embrace the cross? Because he was going to die on the cross. He was going to pay somebody's debt on the cross. Whose debt? Your debt, my debt, our debt on the cross. But listen, for you to benefit from that death of his, you have to accept him. You have to accept his sacrifice. You have to say yes. You have to say I do. You guys, yesterday we did a wedding here, beautiful couple. They were just like movie people, you know? In fact, I kept trying to stand up straight to just look like a man in front of this guy. He was just such a man, big, beautiful shoulders, great-looking guy, great-looking tux standing there. And it was great because he's standing right about here, right there, and the door's open. She comes walking down the aisle. You should have seen that guy. He looks back at me and he goes like this. It's great. His face starts getting all wiggly. And when she came right here, they stood there. And she's standing there and I go, get her. They come on up. They were perfect. She looked like she was cut out of a bride magazine. And it was a great time. And then I asked for the rings. Can I have the rings, please? I get the rings from the best man. Man. Wow. These are rings. Good job. And I told the people, I said, you have got to see these rings after this service. And so as I was looking at these rings and talking about the wonderful Christian tradition about the rings and how that came about in the first century church and all this stuff and the glory, they looked so beautiful. I even had a suit on, if you can imagine that. And we're standing there and all this stuff, and I realized, what in the world? I have dirt under my thumbnail. And it's bad, and I know what kind of dirt it is. Because earlier that day, Lisa said, can you plant some of my hydrangeas for me? So I got this rotten, stinky soil to put around the new plants. And I took a shower and cleaned up before I came to do the wedding. But I didn't get under my nail. And in the glory of all of this whole event, I'm going... In the whole preciousness, listen. Do you think anybody else noticed the dirt under my finger? No, it was hidden by the glory. It was completely outshined. My friend, listen. Jesus' sacrifice for you and I is so precious that I know that you and I are overly mindful of our unworthiness. We sin all the time, even when we don't want to. Even if we have a great day of, boy, I'm really doing great, then we start to get arrogant about it. Boy, look at me, God, I'm doing so great. Then we sin because we've done so great. Listen, when Christ, who is our hope, shall appear, it says that we will appear with him in glory. That means that that incredible redemptive process and what's called sanctification, it will be over. Did you know that? Yes, your name is written down in heaven if you're a Christian. Yes, you're going there. That's settled. But in the process, you and I are being sanctified practically today. That is, we're becoming more like Jesus. Jesus is not going to come up and say, Larry, man, you got dirt under your thumbnail. You can't come in here. It's a nice place in heaven. the moment you and I either get raptured or we die, the thumbnails are cleaned. Everything's washed. We will be freed from this body, and we will enter into the glorious presence of which his sacrifice provided. And here's where we end. It's through that love that he waits for us. He's patient with us. Listen how good he is. Verse 45, but they did not understand this saying. So Jesus began to beat them about the head and face. No. No. For it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. Oh, wait a minute. What was hidden from them? The truth of him going to Jerusalem. Who hid it from them? Not God. Not Satan. Jesus didn't do it. The scribes and Pharisees didn't do it. Who did it? Their doubt and unbelief, the perverseness of their heart did it. Church, I want you to think about this as we wrap this up. How many times do you and I find ourselves blinded because of unbelief and doubt of what God has told us? Has he not said for us who are Christians that we are new creations in Christ? Old things have passed away. Behold, everything's become new. Yes. You can close your Bibles right now and you can think on this. Our God loves you and he is great. And I don't want you to anymore to be impatient or frustrated or thinking any longer that you have done something so great. Have you sinned? Yes. Have I sinned? Yes. But church, his love is patient. And the disciples, even after verse 45, they were still his disciples. He didn't get on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, especially Peter, especially James, and especially John. He didn't do that. Stop trying to think for God. Come to him with all your baggage, thumbnails and all, and say, God, I need you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Majesty of Jesus Christ. It's a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and verses 37 through 45. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we have been telling you about the Call to Fall event that takes place this weekend. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs to tell us more. Pastor Jack?
Mike, thank you very much. We are coming up on the Call to Fall outreach that literally spans America. And what that is a nationwide call for believers from sea to shining sea to get on their knees and to pray. The Call to Fall last year resulted in thousands and thousands of believers praying for revival, praying for our troops, praying for our leaders, praying for our government, and praying for God to have his way with America. Call to Fall. You can find out more about it by going to calltofall.com. That's call, the number two, fall.com. And when you go there, go to the section where it says, I'm in. And you can click on that button and be part of this amazing nationwide prayer gathering. And make a statement. Take a stand by falling on your knees. I encourage pastors and churches to take part of their Sunday morning service, just a few moments, to get on their knees. I tell you what, it's a moving thing. It's a powerful thing when a church physically gets on its knees on a Sunday morning and lifts up the concerns of our nation to our loving God. So let's meet at Call to Fall. God bless you.
Okay, again, that's Call to Fall, and it takes place this weekend. We do have a link from our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.